So with Jesus Joy, standing ovation, can you welcome Reverend Tolu Abiodun?
Less than 1 minute, so we need to trust God for speed. What I will give will look like an introductory session, but I perceive that it's a balance of this morning. I'm eager to hear that the minister so that I can build tomorrow morning on what he says, and that's what I'm waiting for. Yeah. Jesus, we honor you. You are King, you are Master. Tonight we ask that there will be a communication that will bring us into that place that you have designed for us tonight. That place where we are truly mastered. That place where acknowledgement of you as King will go beyond words but will become a reality to be experienced. We ask that tonight the person of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will be unveiled in a more organic dimension. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Okay, please be seated. I trust the Lord to do a progression. I've been trying to build gradually, and tonight I'll speak to us briefly of the subject, the Spirit of Grace. I found out that it's too low. I'll be very scattered. You don't want to hear me minister without a shout. I pray so much to be able to do that. A journey into that place where we become fitted for that which has been prophesied. It's something that we regularly okay. Thank you. Our journey into that place that has been promised, into becoming the experience that God has pronounced, will bring us through seasons where we are confused at the nature of the process. That's why I said it's going to be a lot more organic, something that we can relate to. And as we advance on this journey, there is a possibility that the journey is frustrated because we do not know what is next. I know that if you have started the journey, you will have come into a place where it looks as if you have lost definition as to what God is doing. And it is for that season that I think the other one was better. Okay. I didn't know that my voice was this bad. I'm saying that even though it is an intelligent spirit, and there are many names that we can use to describe the organic operations, what I mean is the living operations of the Holy Spirit. There are many names that you can go by. Let me just start that way. However, I have found out that the Holy Spirit is an intelligent spirit. That there are situations that come up and they can be. Okay, so let's welcome that. I always like to say. Such that 20 to 50 individuals can be on the same journey, and he's intelligent enough to be able to handle 50 different presentations or challenges on this spiritual journey. He's an intelligent spirit. He may not be called that, but I've found out that there is really nothing that happens in your spiritual journey that the Holy Spirit cannot handle. However, I find out studying, and that's what I just did this afternoon, because the way we ended the prayers in the morning about grace, I began to perceive that we have not and made an end of our demands on the supplies of grace. Because when you begin to interface with the grace of God, it may be a journey that starts with a request, a prayer point. Ask God for grace. If you sustain the posture of asking God for grace, one of the things that begins to happen is that the journey in prayer becomes a journey of revelations. That request begins to unveil to you the many areas of your life in which you need an administration of grace that the absence of that prayer did not bring you into. So you did not know that you needed grace in about 4 or 5 areas of your life. You just responded to the prayer. That's how it operates sometimes. That until a dimension of God is provoked, man is not brought into the consciousness of his need for the release of that dimension. Because my session is short, I just want to bring us into that prayer and then I will leave. Because I found out that the demand for a shot of the grace of God has the ability to do so much in the believer. Actually, the journey from redemption into maturity is a journey in different layers of grace. And until we fully become like the one that redeemed us, we will not have totally used up his full of grace. Jesus, the master teacher, was schooling his disciples in kingdom life. And if your study material is the gospel according to St. Matthew, you'll find out that each of the gospels had an aspect of the portrait of the Christ that they sat on. The gospel of Matthew is actually that writing where Matthew clearly depicts the Christ, not as a sovereign, not as a suffering servant, not as life, but as king. That was what Jesus was doing, bringing them into aspects of himself so that the disciples come into more cognitive dimensions of who he was. I learned that we see proximity to the Christ, that you were born into a Christian family, you grew up in the church, does not really bring a knowing. The design of spirits is that you can be close to them, but you can only know what they want you to know, because closeness can still leave them masked. E.g., the event that happened on the way to Emmaus, that it was possible to speak to the living Christ or the resurrected Christ about the resurrected Christ and walk with him for so long and not be able to come into cognitive knowledge, that the one whose story burdened your heart was the one that walked with you. What Jesus did was to set up that time of the breaking of the bread to be the time of revelation, so that there were many other realities that were happening in their hearts, inclusive of the burning of hearts, but they could not come into the knowledge of who he was. That is why we cannot exhaust that simple request of open my eyes. If they had known that he was the one, then their possibilities would have been limitless. But the only thing they found out that was that there was a story they did not know, a back-end story that he revealed to them on the road, and then they were able to run back with the testimony that he truly is risen, but they did not come into this post-resurrection energies because it was veiled from them. You can be close to the Spirit so that he becomes more tangible to you on your spiritual journey into that place of being that company of the prepared people, and find out that there are things that the Holy Spirit is trying to run into your spirit, things that is trying to bring you into the understanding of, and closeness will still not furnish you with understanding. I found out that in some seasons that we feel confused, they actually offer God an advantage to introduce another subject to us, a subject that ensures that this journey that is about to be aborted on the grounds of frustration can be a journey that is sustained into that place where Jesus can actually not only be known mentally, but he can be embodied, which is the design of this meeting. Now, I'm not free this evening because I've listened to my spiritual father so much this evening. I joined the meeting in Lagos. there are just two verses or three that I want to introduce, because my assignment tonight is to introduce the Holy Spirit to us as the Spirit of grace. That there is a functionary that God introduces every time we are confused about the nature of our spiritual work, every time we get to a point where no human being can bring understanding as regards why this season has become so dark. In those seasons where you have been led by a voice, but your tour guide decides to go silent, and you have to master how to sustain motion even in silence. That there are seasons where you are being guided by sight. He showed you so many things, but a day will come when you have to begin to move by sound, even though you have become a master of sight. There are confusing times. Many times in my life, I've had to navigate through those seasons and operate by the last instruction, because it looks as though I have become sound deaf and the speakings of God can no longer be captured. The average believer thinks that the loss of these realities is proof that he has backslidden or he has derailed from the path. I've come to announce to you that there are parts of that path that are designed not to sponsor cognitive knowledge. You are hearing nothing, you are seeing nothing, but you just have to keep going. You have to lean on other supplies. And in that day, the speaking spirit does not come as a speaking spirit. It does not come as a revealing spirit. Sometimes it just operates as a moving spirit. And you need to have mastered the motions that keep you going until it begins to speak again. The Spirit of grace. In John chapter 16, Jesus, from about John chapter 13, began his closing statements to his disciples. He was not about going to heaven. The discussions were about the next phase of his ministry, which was actually the zenith of what he had come to do. His assignment was to mount a cross so that the terms of divine justice could actually be fulfilled. And when he began to speak to his disciples in John chapter 13, the summation of their emotions was that they were troubled. And he opened John chapter 14 by trying to calm their fears. That even though the Jesus that could physically be touched, the one that could answer your questions visibly, was about to be taken away from you, it will be more expedient that I am withdrawn from you, because a certain functionary will be given to you, and Jesus called him an operational name. You see, in working with the Holy Spirit, you will be brought into a lifetime of names. Because every situation will birth another expression of what the Holy Spirit is. He is the spirit of many things. And your confusion is actually going to draw into that limitless well of resources and advertise another dimension of his existence to you. Jesus called him the Comforter, not because his name is the Comforter, but because his disciples were discouraged and what they needed was the ministry of a Comforter. So you can hold that name. So he began to traffic through John chapter 14, introducing to them the provisions that he had made. And when he found out that the provisions did not bring them sufficient comfort, he introduced them to a functionary whose job was going to be to bring about the fulfillment of what he has said, so that where he is, there will also be. So the journey was bequeathed to a particular entity. Well, that chapter closed, and then Jesus had to step out of the discussion about the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 15, he began to speak to them about the economy that this spirit, this comforter, ran on. So that even though you know the man, you also need to know how he operates. And Jesus began to teach in John chapter 15 about the economy of dependence. That I am the vine, ye are the branches. Now, you may be creative with what you want to achieve, but outside of me, you can do nothing. Your life is designed to be sourced from me. And your degree of maturation, your degree of perfection, your depth of expression is going to be anchored upon how connected you are to me. Because without me, you will not be able to do anything. I know that some people suggest that activity can still happen without him. What Jesus meant by saying without me you can do nothing is that there is nothing that you can do that will count in the realms of God if it happens outside my person. John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, I'm trying to summarize so that I get to where I'm going. In John chapter 16, which is my focal chapter, Jesus began to paint a picture of what will become of these disciples after he's taken away from them. You know, Peter did not need to think of how he will pay his tax. There was a master with him who was not just a master of men, he was also a master of nature. So that in case they were accosted to pay tax, he could tell them to go to the sea and drop their line. And that the only the fish that will come to the line will be the one that carried a coin. That was how strong that he was. That even if you toiled all night, his voice still carried that token of creation. That if he spoke and told you to cast your net to any side, the fish understand his speakings and so they will come into that side. That if he walked with them, having 5 loaves and 2 fish was still going to be enough to feed 5,000. Those were the possibilities that the disciples sustained in the day of the physical life of the Christ. But he told them, he began in chapter 16 to show them that their life was going to become very vulnerable. And there were many evil things that were going to begin to happen to them because he had moved away from them. And then he began to run a list for his disciples. As he began to run the list, Jesus came to one of those challenging points in his discussion, because what he was saying looked beyond believing. His disciples could not understand how the switch from a physical Jesus to a Jesus that was no longer tangible could become so drastic that the prey, the predator sort of, could now become the prey just because Jesus departed. And so Jesus came to one of those challenging points in his teaching ministry. There are 2 cardinal points that I saw, and if time is afforded me before my time runs out, I will show you that portion in Acts of Apostles where Jesus, you know, ventilated the knowledge of the kingdom upon his disciples, and he found out that even though he spent 40 days teaching it, they did not grasp anything. Because, you know, as teachers, we need feedback questions. And sometimes, I teach for like 3.5 hours every Sunday, like I'll do tomorrow. And I found out that some people still meet me after the sermon, and they ask a question that supposes that I wasted my time. So that you teach dependence on the Holy Spirit. If he reveals something to you, you need to go back to him. And then just after that 3.5 hour session, you are walking home, somebody comes to you and said, "Sir, I had a dream this morning. Can you interpret the dream?" And I'm asking myself, I just wasted 3.5 hours teaching you to depend upon the Spirit. That the Spirit that reveals is also the Spirit that explains. You will pity ministers when you... We're sharing when we're going. That went for a meeting in Lagos. My spiritual father taught about 2 hours in the morning, about 3 hours in the evening. Then we entered a healing session for another 2 hours. And we finished at 8. And he went back home at 11:30. Because there was a crowd that felt that the general prayers were not good enough. He still needed to see them. And many of them had nothing to see him for. It was just taught me. And then they will go back home. There are times when we sustain such frustrating postures. However, we found out, which brings hope, we found out that Jesus never gave up on his congregation. Every time the things jammed, like it's about to jam now, he always used the opportunity to bring them into greater light. And that's the job of a teacher. So, in verse 12 of John 16, that's where I'm going. Verse 12, John 16. Jesus desperately announced that I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. There is a time where the teacher is frustrated because he has so much more to reveal that will make for express movements from the place of annunciation into the place of fulfillment. But the ability of the student to bear, to come into the things that have been revealed, to come into agreement with the postulations of this new teacher called the Holy Spirit, could leave him desperate. So what Jesus did, and that's what he will do to you, that's what the same trick that the Holy Spirit will do, operating as the Spirit of grace, is that every time your attitude or your posture of inability to receive from him gives him frustration, what he does is that he exposes you to another layer of his existence. So Jesus said to them, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Next verse. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus was saying to them that I have sustained a theory session with you for so long, but it looks as though you cannot endure my words again. So what I will do is that I will switch the mode of teaching from a theory class, and then we are about to enter a workshop where, you know, in mechanical engineering, we do those courses too, and they were more frustrating than the chemical engineering courses. For example, when we were studying mechanics, they introduced us to a gear system where you have, you know, those metal circles with teeth on them, and then you have different metal plates, and every time you press the clutch and you move the gear, a particular teeth engages the driver. That's what they call it, the driver, and then the driven. Am I right? I should be right too. That's how it happens. Every time you press your clutch, the hook disengages so that you can move into another thing. When they were teaching us in class, a young man raised his hand and said he didn't understand. And what our lecturer said to us is that it will appear naturally. So when we moved from there into technical drawing class and they told us to draw a gear system, we were at sea. I remember that I had a precious friend who eventually graduated with a second class upper, but he had to rewrite that drawing exam again because the only thing he could draw was a boat and knot. So he drew the boat and knot and wrote under it, it is not that I cannot draw. What he could draw was actually what he had captured visually. And until I see this gear system, I may not be able to draw it. So what Jesus decided to do was to bring them into a practical class and then switch the teacher. However, like the friction that happens every time a new teacher comes in, Jesus had to bring them into the fellowship of the operations of this new teacher. And that's what happened in verse 13. That when this Spirit of truth is come, he will not be a storyteller. His job in describing the realities of the kingdom will not be done by words. He will guide you into all truth. Jesus was saying, I taught you about power in the kingdom. When this Spirit comes, he will not teach you power by words. He will bring you into a state of need. And then he will use your state of need to bring you into an experience of power. So that if somebody says, what is power? You may not be able to explain in words, but the transition from need to sufficiency will be enough to convince that person that power happened. He will guide you into all truth. For many years, I felt that the word truth was just the opposite of a lie. But I found out that the word truth was to depict the reality of God. Because until you have received the witness of God about your possibilities or about the outcome of an event, then there is nothing to really be afraid of. I have found that out in my little life. That if somebody says, it's all going to scatter, it's not a time to be afraid. What I need to do is to seek counsel with God. If God says it will be together, Let it be together. So we got news a few months ago. Actually, I perceived it in August last year, and I spoke to a few friends who were ministering in the city of Ilorin, that that city was going to boil because some religious uprising was on the horizon. What God showed me was that there were sorcerers who were trying to bend the minds of men into violence, and the violence was going to be vented upon the church. So we decided to work up a prayer meeting towards the beginning of this year. But I found out that the operations of those spirits first was to touch the hearts of those that were supposed to pray together, and they found out that they said to me that the prayers were not necessary. You know, I live in Ogbomo, so I operate from there. So I advised them that, you see, I'm not a seer, but relationship with God has animated my receptacles optically. And I know that bloodshed is coming. And then one of them said to me, we are the pastors in Ilorin. And, you know, that's a big statement. So I was invited to preach in Ilorin in the month of March. And then the prophetess walked into the meeting and began to declare. Mom is an old, you know, it's an old prophet. Old prophets interrupt services. You can be preaching now and they won't even raise their hand. She just walks up, grabs the microphone, and then does hear the Lord. She announced openly that bloodshed was coming and that it was my assignment to gather people to pray. Ha! So, because there was no support, we had to empty what we had in the house to get a venue. Even the church where we did the meeting, we paid. Yes. Yes, we paid. And then we had to pay for the equipment they had also. We had to pay for their sound engineer. We had to pay to fuel their generator. But we had the meeting. We had the meeting. We had to bring some of our people from Ogbomoso to help man a few equipments, but it was a robust prayer meeting and it was very revelatory. I've even warned them that certain aspects of the meeting should not go public because there were very serious things that God released. Why is that? I'm going this detour, this current one, to announce that, you see, in prayers, there are feedbacks in prayers that are not supposed to be said in the hearing of everybody. Spiritual information brings responsibility, and sometimes it's good that you don't know about some things. So the first day, pictures were streamed on YouTube, and I said, you see, me, I've been fighting since I was 5. Some of these other people leading prayers just heard the word intercession last year. And so if their faces become visible, they can become targets. So we used still pictures for the rest of the meeting. Anyway, the meeting was concluded, and then we saw signs of the coming bloodshed, but it didn't happen. And everybody, so pastor started calling me, including those who said it's not prayer. Thank God you prayed, though. To everybody, the end of that contention was the Lord meeting. But as a family, we ran into a crisis. Everyone that supported us as a family financially had problems. From police cases to legal cases, all of them, so that we had to wake up certain mornings and I'll look at my wife and say to her, you will not suffer. Because our resources just dried up, bank accounts emptied, and then we began to experience friction in the home. Until my wife looked up one day and said, I have a feeling that there's some other person out there. And I went to Jesus. You know me now. You know me. And because you know me, can you speak to my wife? So I had to call my spiritual father. There's trouble. He said to me, Tolu, you cannot confess trouble until God says there's trouble. So we all began to pray. And for many days, communication in the house was near dead. Because if you said good morning may be heard in other ways. It was all confusion. It was the feedback from the meeting. Every other person was still rejoicing and many times in tears. In tears. I would need to gather myself and go up to minister again. I knew the Holy Ghost during that season as the comforter. I don't think I've known him like that outside that season. So there was a problem that the enemy sent in our direction, but that problem was actually a tool in the hands of God to unveil one of the shapes of this spirit that I've come to announce as the spirit of grace. At the end with his definition as the spirit of grace. So I found out that a certain night came, and that was the straw that broke, you know, the axis back. My wife told me and said, I've been praying on an issue. It was about 12 midnight. I said, what's the issue? He said, the issue was that I've been having revelation. She's a seer by excellence, that our son was attacked. So I said, well, you didn't tell me. He said, I've been praying alone, because for that season, we could not even pray together. It was only night prayer. It's a rule in our house. No matter how sad you are, we must hold hands to pray. And whatever you do after the prayer, it's your business, but we must hold hands. That's how we started, and till Jesus comes, or till he takes one of us, we will hold hands. So I grabbed him, rushed into the sitting room, and prayed. And the next morning, we got feedbacks that some people died and some people were paralyzed. So I think he helped my wife recover the shape of the husband that she had. And so that morning we sat together, and I asked her, what did the Lord say to you about this family? Make or break? She said, make. I said, so whatever it takes, we'll work it. And then he began to supply the wisdom to relate with ourselves, because the comforter is also the spirit of wisdom. And in 2-3 days, it looked as though we just got married. The spirit of grace. I found out that there's no down situation for the believer. It's just an unveiling. It's just an unveiling. And you must trust God. And that's why we teach that our consciousness of the love of the Father must be strong. That no matter what is thrown at you, it is still an opportunity to unveil an aspect of his love. When it comes, he will guide you into all truth. I found out experientially that the word truth means reality. That the Holy Ghost was a merchant of some sort. And every time you encountered him, either instigated, that means you did something for him to come, or that by the mercies of God, he came into your space, it is to the end that a particular reality that describes his essence can be advertised, and when a man subscribes to it, it can be transferred. There are many realities marketed in God. The reality of wisdom, the reality of power, the reality of comfort, the reality of truth, the capacity to be able to supplicate. I'm trying to use his names in scripture. The reality of understanding. It means there's truly no confusing situation. Every confusing situation is an avenue for one man to understand that it is not beyond the spirit of God. In case something legitimate has been lost, and I've done that not only with spiritual things but with physical things. I remember I went to buy, you know, I go to the market. I love my wife so much, I don't allow her to go to the market. It's stressful. So I can go to buy pepper for her and plantain for her. I like to do those things for the little time I'm at home. I love to serve her. I found out that if you love somebody so much, you serve that person. The lack of service for the Christ is because you don't love him that much. So I went to the market one day to buy plantain, and in giving out money, I forgot my purse on the counter. I took a bike. On the way home, the bike man started discussing the fare, and then I found out that my purse was missing. So I ran back to the market, and the boys denied that any purse was there. Now, my fear was not the money. It was other details like my cards and every other thing that was in that purse. So the bike man looked at me and said, what do we do? I said, let's go home. He said, what will happen? I said, if I get home and I don't see my purse at home, and we will go to church. Those are two sure locations that the boss will travel to, so that even if somebody puts it in their pocket, there is a system of recovery that will get it back home. I'm not too old, but my trust of God, or my trust for God, is not because of what people told me. I've gone through very tough situations as young as I am, that it will be difficult not to trust God. I said something 2 weeks ago. If you have a need that money can solve, there are two ways that God can solve it. He can provide the money or make the need no longer necessary. So I don't live with pressure. So when we got home, I had to invite the bike man to come for inspection. And when we peeped through our door, we saw the boss sitting on our dining table. So I just went there, peeped it, and gave it back to him. It's because I know that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. He functioned as the Spirit of recovery. He will guide you into all truth. The frustration of Jesus became a gate that allowed him the opportunity to open to the disciples the realities of this functionary that he was going to send to them. I don't know what area of inadequacy you have come into. I found out that even in such common things, prescriptions, like I said in the morning as prayer, if you pray without the Holy Spirit, you will find out that prayer was not designed for human beings. You will struggle. You will spend a lot of, you will need a list of like 200 prayer points to do a 1 hour prayer meeting. So that it will be an enterprise of just reading out, Lord, my school fees, and Lord, my house rent. That's how you keep reading them out if you are not helped. But I found out that when he comes into the place of prayer, the first thing he does is that he substitutes the prayer points. You find out that the things you came with have been sorted. You are like Saul. That the donkey that was lost has been found. I drill you because I want to use your prayer time to achieve eternal things. So that you could begin to hear names in prayers that I've never known before. Sometimes my prayer engagements have been for countries that I don't even dream of going if I was given an opportunity. But you do a lot of it for people. I found out it was in prayer that God allocated to me the Fulani tribe for intercession. That even though there's building up hatred across the nation, when I begin to pray for revival in the Fulani tribe, you think that I'm one of them. I will pray and weep and ask God that redemptive movement to begin to happen, because that's the fastest way to cure this monster. It's not normal to carry an AK-47 and spray another human being. You need the help of a dark spirit to take a human life. No part of creation was designed to take out its kind. Lions don't kill lions for food. They are all at the mercy of the invasion of a spirit. And glory to God that the Holy Ghost is a king spirit. It means that if you pitch any spirit against him, we know who we win. The Holy Ghost. Please let me know how much time I have. It has gone off again. That's what he does when we become confused. He opens another layer. He shows you that I am more than enough. The Holy Ghost, as the Spirit of grace, is supposed to be one of the avenues by which God markets himself as El Shaddai. That whatever shows up, I am up to the task. I'm bringing him this way because you will need him in your journey. You see, the journey is not regulated. You are not given the privilege to choose what shape the journey will take. The only choice you are supposed to make is the choice to keep journeying. Let me bring you the second scripture. I still have 20 minutes. Is that in Acts chapter 1, Luke continued this discussion. Because there was a balance of communication that they had to bring to this precious friend called Theophilus. And he opened the book by bringing to Theophilus the consciousness that there were certain things that Jesus began to do and to teach. Okay, so let's run. from verse 2. I'll do 2 to 8 and then I'll say a few things, then we go to ask again. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he had through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also, that was one of the first things that Jesus did to his disciples, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them how many days? 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, to reveal to us that the teaching ministry of the Christ was not summarized by going to the cross. There was a balance of kingdom education that Jesus came back after resurrection to communicate to his disciples. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he had heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 6. Now, this is another challenging point in the teaching ministry of the Christ. How can I return to do a 40-day balance of teaching, and then you still ask a question that has no bearing on the things I have been saying to you? The disciples, the Bible says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? It meant that everything Jesus had been teaching about the kingdom had only built a temporal picture before the disciples. When I use the word temporal, I use it as the opposite of the word eternal. That all they were seeing was the restoration of the kingdom back to Israel and the kicking out of the Roman government. Because if you died as a king, your resurrection was to be to the end that a kingdom will be installed. So Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. The word power, there's the word authority, revealing to us that the authority of God is not only that facility by which God sustains dominion. The authority of God is also like a vault in the spirit. There are certain things that are kept in that vault that are not for people to know. When by progressions in our reality of sonship, we come into the tangibility of that shared throne. You know, the Bible says that we are seated together with Christ. You remember that? It talks about the reality of a shared throne. That there are energies of the throne of the Christ that have been bequeathed to the believer to express. When you begin to come into the reality of that shared throne, you understand that there are things that cannot be said. So that Paul had a revelation, and for 14 years he hid the revelation. I know the average young person, anything he sees in scripture this morning, he wants to announce it because we feel that stature is equal to revelatory capacity. I didn't understand stature until I started doing territorial prayers. That is not the size, it's that there is a kind of man that the territory responds to. Stature has to do with the more of Christ, your degree of semblance to Christ. Daddy used a word in one of the teachings I listened to this afternoon, the similitude of the church. And that's what was talking about. So, your degree of similarity to the Christ is what gives you stature. And one of the things by which God brings you into that similar status is that he allows the Holy Ghost to take you from truth to truth, so that the proof of knowing is not mental. The proof of knowing is embodiment. So that the fact that you can express it is what validates that you know it. And beyond expression, the fact that you can sustain expression is proof that you truly know it. I'm closing. So Jesus said to them, Your inability to capture what I have advertised for 40 days still shows that you are still where you used to be. But instead of giving up on you, you will receive power. And the power that you will receive will not be divorced from that entity that I introduced to you. Now I call him the Holy Ghost. I called him the Comforter. I called him the Spirit of Truth. Now I call him the Holy Ghost. And the proof of the reception of power will not just be the ability to scatter a meeting. And I tell people, you see, my teachings actually de-emphasize scattering meetings. And some people feel it's because they can't scatter meetings. When I came yesterday, I looked carefully in the house and I see that the house is a house of decorum. I understand that there is a possibility to impart without scattering anything. Our fathers have that too. And we must come into that handle also. Because many of the administrations of power that scatter meetings do not deliver power. This verse teaches us the proof of power, that the proof of power is not doing things but becoming something. The degree of formation that happens to you in, you know, as regards being a witness is the proof of power. That's what it is. Don't worry, when we get to another place, you will be freed. Jesus help us tonight. Okay. I have 3 more minutes and then we can stop. So, that's what Jesus said to them. You shall receive power. So, if you stood in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Comforter that became the Spirit of Truth has suddenly become the Spirit of power and the Spirit of confirmation. Because it's a man that receives the coming of the Spirit. But that reception brings him into a duality of distributions. One is the distribution of power. The other one is that that man that receives power becomes something. That's the Holy Spirit. So it becomes difficult to define a spirit that is multifaceted in expression. And so we need one name to market all of his realities. And that's why it's called the Spirit of Grace. That if you ascended to heaven, you will find out that there are 2 functional thrones in heaven. The throne of God and of the Christ, or you can call it the throne of the Lamb as revealed to us in Revelation. However, if you dip into the Godhead, you find out that there are 3 entities that constitute that fraternity, if I can use that word. So we need to begin to look for where the third throne is. And the Bible will reveal to you in that Psalms 110 that we did, that the other throne was deployed in the day that Christ sat. Sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies your footstool. And then the Bible revealed that one was going to be sent who was called the rod of the strength of the Christ. It meant that his assignment also as the Spirit of the Christ will be to occasion the reality of the seated Christ anywhere that reality is needed. I hope you understand the role of the throne of the Christ. That throne in the day that he fulfilled the terms of divine justice, that throne became an administrative throne. So that all of the realities of God can only be distributed to that throne. This scepter that was sent into the earth now came as an extension of that throne. And if you like, you can call it a mirrored throne. So that in the day that you got saved, beyond the spirit beginning to find expression in the spirit, he smuggled his throne into your soul, into your spirit rather. He smuggled his throne into your spirit and he begins to rule from there. That his throne is not only a throne for rulership, it's also a mirrored administrative throne. That's what the Bible calls the throne of grace. So that every time you find out that you come into a season of confusion, which is an advertisement of your insufficiency, all that you will need to do is not to look up. It's that you will begin to engage that throne. Even if you engage it under your breath, that throne will still begin to operate. It is God's facility to bring, to ensure that this journey continues. So that if a contention for power is occasioned, that throne will back power. If there is a contention for wisdom, that throne will back wisdom. And in case you find out that there is a weakness, yes, that throne becomes a throne of strength. Because the spirit that does business from it is an all-encompassing spirit. The spirit of grace. We have 10 minutes. All that I perceive is my assignment tonight is to raise this 10-minute prayer point. It is that we will engage that throne so that we can come into a state of sufficiency. Let us boldly. And the word boldly does not suggest being arrogant. It is the word confident assurance. On the strength of the assignment that Jesus has perfected and his entrance into the most holy place, then his kind can also approach unto God. Knowing that your request in this day will not be denied. Can we come boldly again tonight and place a demand upon that which that throne is supposed to distribute? Oh Rabata Satababate Tiasa. Benimro Sefenate Satabata Binota Dametia Danasta. If there is any area of insufficiency tonight, we approach unto that throne. The Bible says, even if you approach thinking that you are not worthy, that throne is designed to first administer the reality of mercy. And then men begin to locate grace. Yes, you may be in an hour of need. You may be afraid that may not show, he may not speak, but he can move. And tonight, even in this silent season, he begins to move in your spirit. Oh, yeah, more come, Mama Santa Mara de Lesa. And the Congress of Hadata. Oh, you're the Holy Ghost, Spirit of a living God. You're the Holy Ghost, Scepter of the King of Kings, Papa Boss. You're the Holy Ghost, the seal of the age to come. Now you bring in everything. Akotame no takaya, Rana boko sakata, Rana dabakata, Tele deli boko sayata. I know you look like the weakest. I show you the functionary that communicates strength, the spirit of grace.